Welcome to episode 91 of the Half Point for Podcast. I'm your host, Evan Riggs, joined this time by my co-host, Dalton, my producer, Johnny Pham. Maybe Dalton. Nope, Dalton, in, out, in, out. Maybe
I'm just doing a light show over here.
For sure, Johnny. All three of the boys on the pod tonight. Dalton, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Trade deadline season is always a fun time for me. It's where teams turn into champions, and the NFL season starting to make more sense. It only took 10 weeks.
Is it?
KC's number one in power rankings. Well, with Kansas City number one in power rankings, I think the NFL makes sense. There's one, and then there's everybody else.
Well, Johnny, Dalton was absent last week. I know I sent a pretty harsh email, really asking for you guys to be more hardcore, to get more into this podcast, kind of following, setting the standard for Twitter this week. We did that last week. And, we didn't have Dalton on the show last week, but he's come around. He's ready to go this week. Johnny, how are you doing tonight? So we've got, basically, we're just going to go around the NFL, hit on a couple relevant fantasy football storylines that I think most shows you listen to this week, if you listen to more than one show, are going to be talking about. And where we are going to start is, I think, where every single Monday show probably started this week, and that's with Christian Watson. We had basically no indication of this guy being an NFL receiver. We knew he could be, but had no indication yet of him being an NFL receiver. And then the dude goes out and plays 80 or runs 84% of their routes, has a 42% target share, has four receptions for over 100 yards. Three of those receptions he turned into touchdowns. So, Dalton, what do you make of where we should be at with Christian Watson? Because I really think I would be open to listening to literally any answer when it comes to Christian Watson, because I think it's just such a wide variance of what people can reasonably think about him right now.
Well, I think this all starts at the top, which was, were the Packers good last week, or were the Cowboys being the Cowboys? And that's where I start with this. They need playmakers. Christian Watson's clearly a playmaker. I think what we did learn is he's better than Romeo Dubs. In smaller opportunities, he did better than Romeo Dubs did. He has draft capital. They want him to succeed. Those are very important things. Aaron Rodgers clearly needs a playmaker outside of his two running backs in that offense. But when it comes to fantasy, I just really don't buy it. Like, the reason he did so great was because he's the only option they have, and the Cowboys just weren't ready for him to go over the top like that, like he did. And as a waiver wire pickup, I love it, but I'm not like trading the house for him. I'm excited if I get him off waivers, but if someone already has him, I'm not giving up like a Tyler Lockett and expecting this type of production week in and week out.
Yeah. Like, I think it's very reasonable to say you're not starting him this week if you have him, and to make him prove it again. I also think it's totally reasonable if you're in a bind and you're looking at a guy that just put up 32 points on your bench last week, and you've got some buys, you've got some injuries, whatever the case may be. I think it's reasonable to say, hey, I want to get this guy in my lineup, because I know he had some drops, and I know it's not going to be smooth every week. And Dalton, I think if you're going to talk about the Matt Harmon stuff you were talking about before the show, you might hit on that a little bit with him. But he just – sometimes you just know when you're watching a guy that he looks the part and he just looks different than the average NFL receiver. I mean, this is a guy that I think his spark score was in the 99th percentile, and we saw that on full display. He's an athletic freak. He has been getting open down the field when given chances this year. It's just been actually finishing the play with a catch. The guy started off the Packers season, I think the first play of their year, dropping what would have been an 80-yard touchdown pass. And he, while he had some drops, he hauled in some big plays. And they still only threw the ball like 20 times. They're running the ball a ton, and they're not running the ball extremely effectively. They just clearly want to slow the game down, chew clock, let the defense win games, and just let Rodgers make the necessary plays. But if you can add this over-the-top option, he has the potential to save the Packers season. And I don't know. It's so hard to say what his fantasy potential is, but it's really, really, really intriguing. I mean, 74% of their air yards, a 42% target share, that stuff is not going to continue. But you brought up the Martavis Bryant comp with that Matt Harmon said, and that is could not feel more accurate. Like, you could get a 1-for-8 next week, and then you could have this again in a week or two, this big blow up.
Yeah, well, and there's discord on the Packers team. I mean, 2 weeks ago, you have Aaron Rodgers walking off to the sideline and looking at Matt LaFleur and saying, what was that? Like, there's clearly a problem in Green Bay with the play.
Well, he's going on Pat McAfee and saying 2 weeks ago and saying, well, we've seen the bench guys aren't doing their jobs.
Yeah.
And then he goes and plays maybe his worst game I've seen him play in some time against the Lions.
Yeah. And I mean, you're going to get like the full boom or bust potential with Christian Watson. He has the athletic profile, but he's just not there when it comes to everything else. And he's going to get number one treatment next week. I mean, part of it was the Cowboys weren't shadowing coverages because the Packers really don't have anybody. And Christian Watson was exploding against their third cornerback and beating him off the line. Teams aren't going to make that mistake again. And I don't think he's talented enough to handle double coverages, to handle defenses keying in and on him. And I don't think the Packers have enough weapons to help him out if that's what this becomes. But again, from a waivers perspective, if you're down, you lost Cooper Kupp, this is probably the guy you need. It's just going to be like Will Fuller the year before he was wide receiver 6 in Houston, where he was just so incredibly frustrating to have, where it was like 30-point game, 2-point game, 20-point game, 0-point game.
Hey, if he's like Will Fuller, it sounds like you should be all in.
I mean, I would be all in if all of fantasy wasn't telling you to take a guy. I don't know how many people I listened to this morning saying he had like a 50% target share. Like, of course. Aaron Rodgers threw the ball 22 times and he has 8 targets. Of course he's going to have a high target share. That doesn't really matter to me. It's not going to maintain week to week. And I still don't think that is an outlier of a game for the Green Bay offense and the Dallas defense. I don't think it's the norm.
We'll see. That's definitely very, very possible. And I am with you that it kind of like I said at the beginning, it's going to be up and down with him week to week because he is a pretty raw prospect. He was a pretty raw prospect coming in, and Matt Harmon mentioned this in his updated breakdown, which is only 2 games, so it's a very small sample size of Christian Watson because it's only 2 games worthwhile breaking down, really. Is he's still very limited as a route runner. So when the go deep stuff isn't working, it could be tough sledding for him. But if you need to shoot the moon with your flex, I mean, this is a good guy to do that with. We just saw what the moon looked like, and it was 32 or 30, but whatever it was in half point scoring, it was a fantastic week.
Yeah, it's Travis Fulgham.
Well, I don't know about that.
I'm kidding. He's better than that.
You brought up Cooper Kupp. I didn't have this on our storylines because I kind of imposing a self-imposed ban of us talking about Allen Robinson on this show, but I think it probably is just worthwhile asking, what are your thoughts on Allen Robinson? Obviously with Cooper Kupp on the IR, had ankle surgery and is out for at least, you know, 4 weeks. And if their season keeps going like this, it's very reasonable to think he is not coming back.
I mean, we're not going to talk about Allen Robinson here.
I said that we were kind of doing a self-imposed thing, but we can just real quick, like quick thoughts. Like, do you want him on your team? Are you trying to go acquire him right now? Are you trying to sell high on the hope that, hey, this guy just had like a 85% target share, not actually, but close, vacated in front of him. So he's going to get more targets and that's going to mean he's going to at least be okay.
I want that to be right. everybody says he still has it from like a route running perspective and all of that. But like this Rams offense just sucks. Matt Stafford might miss again this week with like a phantom concussion where Sean McVay is talking about he's talked to him and doesn't know he even has it. So, I think the only player that I'm comfortable starting this week and probably going forward until I see something is Tyler Higbee. And even then,
I guess you can stream him, but I just don't even really want to do that.
Yeah. But I mean, all around this team, they're just a fantasy Dust Bowl right now, and I don't really want any part of it. Allen Robinson, like, if he's on your waivers and you just want to go grab him as like a hope and a prayer, go for it. But I would rather go for, like, if Odell Beckham might still be on your waivers because he hasn't signed, maybe him, or
if you're just looking,
Williams.
Yeah, or if you're just looking at not necessarily a receiver, but just a high upside roster spot. Deshaun Watson officially back at practice, I believe, today. So that return is coming. And we always talk about you probably shouldn't draft the elite quarterbacks, but we don't mind paying up in a trade for elite quarterbacks later in the season if you're one of those teams looking pretty solid for the playoffs. This is the way you can do that and not pay more than a waiver spot, basically.
Yeah, and the last one, if he's available, which I think he is in a lot of leagues, Donovan Peoples-Jones might be the real wide receiver one right now in Cleveland, and he gets Deshaun Watson in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. He could be a really high-profile player to end the season. I think he kind of has that league winner written on him from his profile, not to overuse that word.
Okay, a guy that, not a league winner, but will stick out west with a way more interesting team. You go from a team with zero fantasy guys that I really want to care about to the Niners are like bursting with fantasy guys that we care about. Eli Mitchell, he's back and he handled a lot more of the workload than I think anybody anticipated. He handled 45% of the rushing attempts in the first three quarters, and he kind of took over as the fourth quarter closer in that game. He was at 69% of their rushing attempts in the fourth quarter. CMC had the passing downs, and the split, like just snap percentage, was something like 65-35. And really, it was probably closer to like 70-30 or 75-25 before the fourth quarter when they really leaned on Eli Mitchell. I think a lot of people are taking this opportunity to try and give advice on Christian McCaffrey. And it's like, what advice can he goes from RB2 to RB4? Like, thanks. That's so helpful. So I think we should just focus on Mitchell. And I think the question here is, Dalton, does this make him a startable fantasy running back if he's able to carve out 10, 12 touches a game? Because I think it does. I think this offense is good enough that we know that their running game is pretty much always good, that I think he is a startable back going forward, which I wouldn't have expected.
Well, I'm out on him for a couple of reasons. The first, their running game really hasn't been that productive. They're 23rd in the NFL in rushing DVOA. The offensive line.
Yes, but to be fair, a very large portion of their season was with Jeff Wilson. And
Jeff Wilson, I mean, I think he's on the list, but.
Yes. It was with Jeff Wilson and Tyrion Davis-Price and whoever else was running the ball on that team. And also Trent Williams missed a very large portion of the season, and he is a key part of that rushing attack.
Absolutely. But there's just – like, there are going to be games where I think he just disappears. First, like, this game really lent itself to the game script Kyle Shanahan wants, and that would be helpful to Elijah Mitchell. I think at any point they're down, it's a lot more Christian McCaffrey. And I found this weird, and it just kind of goes in line with my argument here, but Deebo Samuel only has one top 20 performance this year. And my concern is that there are so many weapons on this offense that all of them outside of the hyper-talented Christian McCaffrey might just not be able to do it. And Brandon Ayuk, because
God, yeah, awesome. Ayuk. But, shout out Ayuk. Maybe he should catch the touchdown next time, though.
That would be great.
It's funny you mentioned Deebo. I have his game log pulled up here, and it really feels like he hasn't been getting many rushing attempts. And before this week, he hadn't been, but he finally got four rushing attempts this game. So maybe the rushing attempts will pick up for him, and that'll eat into Eli Mitchell even more, and we won't be too concerned with Elijah Mitchell. But, I mean, I just think he had 18 touches the other day. I'm not expecting that from Elijah Mitchell, but if he can just get 10 to 12 rushes, and this is a good offense, what running back in an average to above average offense don't you at least have to consider starting if they're getting 10 to 12 touches? You know, I mean, I it depends on your roster, obviously, but I there are probably teams in every league that would love to start Elijah Mitchell as a very low, as a RB3 type of guy.
I just don't think it's going to be worth it. I mean, I think the good touches are going to go to CMC in the red zone. They're going to scheme stuff up, and he's just going to be doing the boring work, and he's going to need to break one off, and I just don't trust him for that.
They were sure trying to get him in the end zone late in that game the other day when they got stopped on the fourth down or the third down after they turned over the Chargers. So I get it. It is definitely a test case of the too many mouths to feed. There are going to be up and down weeks for almost everybody on that offense.
Yeah, and I just don't know if I want anybody on the offense except for CMC and to feel comfortable in starting them. I think there are just guys out there I'd rather go with that aren't Elijah Mitchell. It's also Kyle Shanahan, and he's burned me as a fantasy player so many times. Next week, is Jeff Mason or Jordan Mason going to get the start?
No.
I don't know.
He will not. He will not. I don't think Jordan Mason has a carry to his name this year, or maybe one. I'm pulling up the RB standings here, the scoring standings here, and let's just do a little name game. We'll go down. See, it just gets pretty rough after you get past like the top like 15 guys. CEH is still the RB24, which is funny. Najee Harris or Elijah Mitchell?
I mean Elijah Mitchell, actually.
Najee is the RB27 on the season. Elijah Mitchell or Kareem Hunt?
Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, see, I think he's more startable than you wanted to give it credit for at the start of this argument.
God, it's so ugly right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I don't think he's great by any – like, I don't think he as a player is great, and I don't think his situation is great, but he's getting – He's got work in the one game he's back. We'll see if it continues. But if he can actually keep close to a double-digit touch count on a week-to-week basis, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson or Elijah Mitchell. Cordarrelle, who is now apparently in a three-man committee with two other really bad running backs.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There isn't really a lot out there. It's tough right now.
I mean, like, you can go higher up, and I think, like, he's pretty clearly, once you get past the top 20, like, you're taking Jeff Wilson over him, who we'll talk about in a minute. You're taking, well, I think, Devin Singletary or Elijah Mitchell.
Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I think it's Singletary too. And Singletary is RB25 right now. I think if you looked at rest of season ranks, he's probably in that range. So I think you're looking at probably a high-end RB3 the rest of the way, which... I mean, yeah, you might have a week where he only gets three touches and you get burned, but you might have a week where he gets 18 touches like he did the other day and he actually converts multiple touchdowns because his team actually scores touchdowns in that game. So not pretty for Elijah Mitchell, not pretty just for the running back landscape as a whole, which is why Jeff Wilson going to the Dolphins and all of a sudden coming alive is a great thing for a lot of a fantasy.
Look what
managers
they did to my boy, Raheem, the dream. Must start.
I forgot about that. So Jeff Wilson gets there and right away is playing pretty close to half the snaps. Last week, he plays 61% of the snaps, has 52% of the rushes. And I don't have the quarter by quarter breakdown in front of me, but anecdotally, I think Mostert played a lot of snaps early, and then it was a lot of Jeff Wilson for the last 2.5 quarters or so in that game. Dalton, just your thoughts on this backfield as a whole right now, and then Jeff Wilson specifically.
I mean, on this backfield, if you can sell a box score watcher at the trade deadline, Raheem Mostert,
yeah,
I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he played 24% of the snaps. He had 12 touches, so when he's on the field, he's probably going to get them. But his touchdown, it wasn't a red zone touchdown. He ran it in for 24 yards. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big concern. And the same argument that everybody was making in the offseason about Mostert in this offense applies to Jeff Wilson. He knows it. He is literally Mike McDaniel's guy. He wanted him here. They went out and they traded for him. And he's younger, and he fits a way more prototypical build to be a guy who can – hammer the downs. Like, Raheem Mostert, even, and I owned him in Dynasty, I got worried, like, seeing him get 18 touches a game because you just think he's going to break down.
Yeah, I think that's probably what the Dolphins were thinking.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of us thought that. Like, I was thinking maybe a 60-40, maybe 50-50. This looks like it's going to
80-20.
Turn. This looks like it's going to turn the other way as quickly as it did for Raheem Mostert in favor of Chase Edmonds. It is turning in favor of Jeff Wilson. We'll see if it continues. It was only one game, but I mean, it was pretty emphatic. And we have Sumo Bro in the chat, Jeff Wilson or Eli Mitchell, full PPR rest of season. I think we're both in agreement based on what we were just talking about that we're going Jeff Wilson over Mitchell, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because this is the point of the offense is the Dolphins are the second most efficient offense in the NFL behind Kansas City right now. And there's just way more touchdown equity in it than there is in San Francisco. And you know Kyle Shanahan likes to slow it down and play the game slowly. That's just not the same case for the Miami Dolphins. They're willing to put up 50 points on the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, they are willing to put up a lot of points on about anybody they play. And on top of it just being a better offense, I mean, you mentioned it, and it's a fair point with Mitchell and CMC. Like, CMC is going to probably still get more of the goal line touches. Like, Jeff Wilson has a chance to be the guy in the red zone for a very good offense. So I think that alone. And then, like, they're pretty comparable players, so it's not like we're just saying we're taking a average player compared to a very good player. We're taking two pretty similar players, and we're given the edge based on situation after that.
Yeah, well, in this Miami team, every team that's explosive like they are is going to start seeing more too high eventually, and they haven't yet. When Miami sees a lot more too high coverages, which they're going to just based on the explosive plays they're getting, they're going to want to run the ball more, and it's going to be great for Jeff Wilson. He definitely has a lot of opportunity ahead of him, and the run blocking, I don't know if you saw one of the holes he had last week, but you could have fit three of them in the hole he was running through. It's absurd, the run blocking. This line can't pass block, but they can certainly run block.
Mm. Did you see him? It was in garbage time, but I'm assuming you saw the play where he absolutely truck-sticked a Browns guy in the open field. I mean, Jeff Wilson looking pretty good. You know, I've always thought that he was like a fine NFL running back, and a fine NFL running back with opportunity is a surefire fantasy starter, and I think that's what we have right now.
Yep.
Okay, before we hit on the last running back, yeah, I thought it'd be worthwhile. Johnny, you should hop back into this conversation now. We've got a weather bonanza about ready to take place in Buffalo. We are seeing anywhere from 2 to 3 feet, 3 to 6 feet, 1 to 2 feet. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be, but we are looking at a potentially crazy weather game. What does that do for you guys when you're making your fantasy lineups? Or even like Johnny, if you're thinking about making bets on a game, which based on how you think a game is going to go, like points wise, like total wise, might influence your fantasy perspective. How does the weather, when it's that bad, impact that decision-making process?
You want to talk lake effect snow and weather games with me? I'm all here for that. Okay,
Dalton's just trying to deprive the world of an epic snow game just because he has Josh Allen and Gabe Davis on one little fantasy
in a must-win week against the second-place team in the Dynasty League. Look, East Rutherford.
If you haven't been thinking about that first PFT I Love Cocaine tweet since you saw the weather report for this game, you and I are just built different. I don't know what to tell you.
No. If my most valuable player, Josh Allen, was not playing in this game, I'm okay with it. But I had to watch another weather game last year against the New England Patriots where Mac Jones attempted three passes in four quarters. I can't do it.
Me? Okay. Okay. Let's get back to the actual fantasy discussion here. We're not telling you to bench Josh Allen. We're not telling you to bench Stephon Diggs. We're not telling you to bench Nick Chubb.
Oh, you didn't say Gabe Davis, I noticed.
But after that, I think is when you can start thinking about it. What where is like that line of demarcation for you? Is it Gabe Davis? Are you still starting Gabe Davis? Like, because I think in a normal week, everyone is starting Gabe Davis. But and Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's the other one. But it's like, you can't bench Diggs. But outside of that, can we really trust anything in this passing game? Like, I don't know. It's so difficult. And we don't have to make these decisions today. But I think just the thought process is helpful.
Who made the ticker?
Well, not me.
I don't hate snow games. I hate snow games where my fantasy relevant players are playing in the games, unless they're LeSean McCoy. All right. The line of demarcation is for me is start your studs. I don't think Gabe Davis is a stud yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure you agree.
I agree, yes.
I don't even know I don't think Amari Cooper even qualifies for a stud the way he's played this season. He's been so off and on.
Well, David, that's just kind of Amari Cooper.
It is. It's the Amari Cooper experience. But something tells me a snow game is not his strength. But David Njoku, I don't know if he's going to be healthy. Him and Stephon Diggs, Devin Singletary and Nick Chubb are probably the four players in this game I feel most comfortable starting.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention Singletary, but yeah, you've probably,
and of course Josh Allen. Like, you have to start Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think we've kind of gone through who we should and shouldn't start, but as far as like actual thought process, I think what you said is a great point and exactly right, Dalton. That you start your studs. And then after that, you just have to downgrade guys like Gabe Davis, guys like Amari Cooper. I think if Deshaun Watson was his quarterback, we'd be starting Amari Cooper still this week. I think that is a partial quarterback issue. But I don't know. It is definitely going to be something that every fantasy football manager has to monitor, because there are there are like six guys who are in starting lineups almost every week playing in this game. The question probably is, for people who have Kareem Hunt, he's probably somebody you want to bench after how the way things have been going. Does Kareem Hunt get an upgrade if we have 2 feet of snow on the ground and we think the Browns might have to run the ball 35, 40 times? He kind of has to, right?
Has to. And you know what? I find this hilarious. 3 feet of snow. You're better. You're looking at that. You're saying that has to be the lowest under, right? Lowest under on the board for the slate.
Uh-huh.
Wrong. You're like, oh, it must be, the Jets-Patriots playing in the East Coast too, where this storm's hitting, where the weather's bad. No, no, no. It's two teams playing in a dome. Do you want to guess what the lowest over-under is on the slate and what it is?
Two teams playing in a dome. Who the Colts play this week? It's either the Colts or the Saints, but I don't even know who either of those teams
Colts
play.
Are on a bye.
Okay, Colts are on a bye. I don't know.
It's the Saints Rams with an over under of 38.5. The Bills game is 41.5, by the way. It's a higher over under than the Commanders game, than the Jets Patriots game, than the Carolina Panthers Ravens game. That is a very fair point.
But I think also they have to protect against what if it snows 3 feet on Saturday and it's not snowing very much on Sunday, because while it will be very cold and the snow will look very cool shoveled against the stadium, it won't be actually impacting the game that much.
Yeah. If I was a better right now, I'd probably take that over. I'm going to be honest with you.
All right. I expect you to go do that. Last guy here before we jump into a little Who's That Pokemon segment. We will answer we have one more question in chat that I've been putting off until we had a natural break here. But Isaiah Pacheco, I thought it was only right that the three Chiefs fans talk about Pacheco and this backfield as a whole. And I think the real question that everyone's probably thinking about right now is, can Isaiah Pacheco be a league winner? I mean, he goes from a month ago getting like four carries in 2 weeks combined, and all of a sudden now he is the number one running back on this team. CEH got four snaps, not four touches, four snaps, and nice. And zero touches. Nice. And I think two targets, and one of them I feel like he could have stopped for the ball and actually caught it if he were a better player. So not good in CEH land. But you also have Andy Reid today on Wednesday, they have this recording, basically saying they are continuing to go RB by committee. They are working through trying to get CEH touches. Said playing him four snaps was the circumstances of the game. Now, whether or not you want to believe that is up to you. You look at week 10, Pacheco played a career high 56% of the snaps, career high 73% of the team's rushing attempts. Even though he fumbled on the first drive in inside the 10-yard line, that was an interesting point in the game where it was like, okay, he was clearly the starter. He was clearly the guy on this drive for the first time all year in an important drive, really. Let's see if they go back to him. And they went right back to him, and that dude just kept running hard all game. And I went back and watched some highlights, and I thought he started making a couple of cuts as that game went on that looked better than a lot of his runs this season. He's just getting more comfortable. And the run blocking was very good for the Chiefs in that game too, and it's been consistent this year. I think the one thing that is holding him back from league winner status is the fact the receiving game is non-existent for Pacheco. Dalton, what are your thoughts on Pacheco as a potential league winner?
I don't think he's a league winner. And I think that's because league winning running back, this Kansas City offense has to catch passes. Mm-hmm. Kansas City leads the league in neutral pass rate at 72%, means they pass way more frequently than they run. Anybody who, and as a Chiefs fan, and I know you kind of agree with this, is get out. Max, out. He just pushed my dog just pushed his way into the door.
He's your dog now. Look at Max.
But the league winning running back has to catch passes. Like, there are gonna be weeks where I think Pacheco gets a touchdown or two, but even then, the efficiency the last 3 years from Kansas City of running the ball inside the five has been pretty bad. Like, all around. And I don't think Pacheco's the answer. I don't necessarily even know if it's a running back-specific problem, but our best plays come on pass plays. And if Pacheco's not involved in those, it's just not going to work for him. Kansas City also plays Denver twice in the upcoming weeks. Yep. And those are going to be rough games no matter what because the Denver defense is very good. So I'm reluctant to put any Kansas City Chief as a league winner, especially with one of those games coming in the fantasy playoffs. And then unless Jerick McKinnon goes down and Pacheco suddenly gets that passing down work, I just don't think he has enough to get it. He's certainly a nice start, but I don't think he's a league winner.
Yep. I think I'm more with you than not, but I am a little bit more torn than you. But I kind of started saying before I kicked it to you, the one thing holding him back is he's not getting the receiving game at all. Like, if I think I heard somebody, it was maybe Andy Behrens, made this point that if they were splitting the work just straight down the middle for everything, I think you'd like Pacheco more because if he and McKinnon were splitting the passing and the rushing, but McKinnon is getting all of the high value touches. I mean, he has 8 targets, 6 receptions. What did he run the ball one time the other day? And I think he probably, without looking back, I think he probably outscored Pacheco, who had 16 carries for like 80 something yards and played a good game, but he didn't catch the ball, didn't score a touchdown, and that's just what's holding him back right now. But if Pacheco is the lead guy and he's getting all of the rushing, none of the receiving, could he be like a slightly less J.K. Dobbins from his rookie year, where it's like, this guy just 12 to 15 rushes, he's scoring a touchdown every week. I know he hasn't yet, but do you think it's just the kind of the fatal flaw of this offense that they can't score rushing touchdowns, or is it just kind of coincidence at this point? I mean, they have 3 rushing touchdowns by running backs this season. None since the 49ers game before the bye week, and that is the only one since the Tampa Bay game in week four. So they basically have one rushing touchdown from a running back in the last month and a half, give or take.
Well, and this is not Isaiah Pacheco's fault, but he's probably like the fourth guy running the ball in the red zone. Like a jet sweep to Mecole or Kadarius Toney is a lot more exciting, especially with Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes just running it in. And I like, this is not a fantasy football related at all, but Blake Bell coming back will probably be a significant detriment to short yardage running game in Kansas City, because he does that in those weird sneak situations. I don't think Kansas City has a need for that. And the reason they don't have rushing touchdowns isn't just because the running game has sucked. It's just because I think we're just better off passing it and giving it to the best player in the league in Mahomes.
Yeah, and they just don't it's something that irritates me and a lot of Chiefs fans from time to time, where it's like, could you guys just line up under center on first and goal from the three and run the ball two times and you'll probably get in, as long as CEH is not getting the ball one of those two times because he can't run through any contact. I do think, not saying he's Kareem Hunt by any means, but you do think back to the Kareem Hunt times on the Chiefs, and even when they had Mahomes and Hunt together for, what was it, 10 weeks. They did less of that gimmicky stuff, more of letting Kareem Hunt score rushing touchdowns inside the five. And you do kind of wonder if Pacheco starts to earn more trust, if the playbook can devolve a little bit into just letting the kids score some touchdowns inside the five instead of having to open up the playbook every time they get down there. I'm not predicting it, but it's just something I'm watching for. I'm watching to see if the play calling evolves as they get in the red zone more. But I think it's a good point made by you and a good conversation to be had when we're thinking about his value.
Yeah. Well, and it's maybe I'm a little burned from CEH for 3 years, but like, it is so tiring at this point to like talk up any running back in Kansas City at all. It is exhausting. And
but you know why we have to? Why we have to is Kareem Hunt was like the number one overall back until everything happened. And then Damian Williams was a league winner later that year. But the difference between Damian and Pacheco is he was catching all the passes too.
Well, and it's just like, how many times are we going to run down this track until it's like, maybe there's just not a good running back there and they have to be good to be productive? And I'm not saying Isaiah Pacheco's bad, but he's a seventh round pick. It's definitely harder for me to lead myself to believe that he's going to come out and really kill it. And as a Chiefs fan, not fantasy related, I hate the team running the ball at all. I think I complain when they run on second and four sometimes. I just don't. Yeah. And I think the Chiefs are just better off passing it, which maybe they won't need to. I know their schedule softens up and they can get some easy looks, but that's also how this team lost to the Colts, is they were just trying to run the ball too much, among other things. A lot of things, but
as much as I do hate when they run the ball, if the running game gets rolling, that's when they are actually unstoppable, because you can't just key on the pass. Whereas the Titans game, Mahomes had to throw the ball, whatever it was, 500 times, and the Titans knew they were throwing the ball every snap. Neither here nor there. Okay, Dalton, real quick before we get into one of my favorite segments coming back, who's that Pokemon, and we'll bring Johnny back in for that. Let's hit on Caden, the Colts fan. Sorry for just trash talking the Colts, Caden, if you're still in here or if you're listening back to this. Should he trade Higgins, I'm assuming T. Higgins, for Terry McLaurin? And I guess we'll just assume this is half point scoring to give an in between. I'm saying no.
No. No. This Ja'Marr Chase injury is a little weird. I know he might be back this week, but the way they've handled it, they've been really hush-hush on it. And even then, T. Higgins is like a weekly top 12 wide receiver, in my opinion. And post-bye, you have to feel like Cincinnati is going to get their passing offense together a little better than it's been lately. Or a reminder, when they beat the Panthers, that was all basically Joe Mixon, not really the passing game exploding. And I mean, he's just so talented. And unfortunately for Terry, he's in a horrible situation. and Tyler Heinicke, like even in the win last night, the overthrows that
sir,
he had
his
last
name,
year,
his name is Taylor. Let's get it right. The man is a flopper, but he deserves to have his name said correctly.
But like his throws last night were the same we saw last year, which is like it's 10 yards above the wide receiver sometimes for no reason other than he just airballs it. And it's
Terry's numbers have gone up since Heinicke took over at quarterback. But I'm with you, and I actually think I'm kind of going to go a little galaxy brain here like I did with Swift and Jamal Williams. I think it's better for Higgins with Chase in the lineup than without fantasy-wise because Chase can take all of the attention, and not that Higgins doesn't get a lot of attention. And like we saw the Dolphins game, they double Chase and then put the number one corner on Higgins, and he still burned him. But I still just think having a guy with that kind of gravity just helps the offense as a whole, and that helps Higgins when the offense is actually moving.
I agree. Terry's an elite talent, but he probably has one of the worst wide receiving situations in the league.
Yeah.
And in a game they won, they had to run the ball 56 times. So that's probably how Ron Rivera wants to play his games.
Well, it certainly worked. Johnny, you popped in anything to add as a Terry McLaurin manager, or were you just popping in to get ready for Who's That Pokemon? All right. So for those of you who are new listeners this year or just happen to not hear our Who's That Pokemon episodes last year, what we do is we bring a guy, an unnamed guy. We both try very hard and so far have succeeded to not say the name of the player before we actually have the person guess. And we kind of lay out a stat profile and we see if the other two can guess said player based on the stat profile. Dalton, I will let you kick it off, but of course, before that.
Who's that Pokemon?
Well, this one's a fun one, so buckle up, boys. This player, I'll give you the division first, plays in the NFC.
Oh, I forgot we did like those hints too. Okay.
I really hope you can tell me what players he's got, what division he's playing in. He has a 28% target per route run, which puts him in the top 10 in the NFL. He's 33% of his team's targets, which puts him in the top 6 in the NFL. And he has 41% of his team's air yards through 11 weeks, which puts him in the top 3 in the NFL. Who's that Pokemon?
I want to say Diontae Johnson.
Well, I said he plays in the NFC.
Oh, I thought you said AFC.
So no, NFC.
Okay. Scratch that. I mean, are we going Chris Olave here? That sounds like kind of Olave's profile.
I really wish it was Olave.
Any guesses, Johnny?
The point of it is to guess based off numbers. What do you want me to say? He wears a jersey?
That'd be
he
nice.
He played at Alabama. There you go, Johnny. He played Alabama. Go with that.
I can't even think of what Alabama receivers in the NFC. I'm having a complete brain breakdown right now. Dalton, I swear to God, this guy's in the AFC. I see you looking it up right now.
No, he didn't go to Alabama. He went to Oklahoma. Anyways.
Oh, my God. Is this like Hollywood Brown who's been out for a month?
No, that's an interesting guess, though. That would have been really funny to do.
CeeDee Lamb is the only other possibility, then.
It is CeeDee Lamb. That is correct. I rectified it. You know, Johnny.
All right.
Who's that Pokemon?
So I'm going to keep this one short and simple. Johnny, I'm sorry. I've got some percentages in here too, but they're maybe a little bit easier to follow. This guy, just last week, played 94% of his team snaps. I'll even give you a positional hint. He's a running back. 91% of the routes, of the team's routes, were run by this player last week. He played every 2-minute drill snap after not playing in a single 2-minute drill snap since week one. So he had gone basically the whole season without playing the 2-minute drill. Who's that Pokemon? AFC, AFC. I never said AFC.
Has he been injured at all?
I feel like that kind of gives it away a little bit, but yeah,
Jonathan Taylor.
It is Jonathan Taylor, which I think that should make you excited as a Jonathan Taylor owner. Not that he's going to keep playing 94% of the snaps, but he ran a route on 91% of the team's passing plays and played every 2-minute drill snap. Like, that's been the thing holding Taylor back with Nyheim Hines in town. And if he's going to have anything close to this workload down the stretch, which he had the rushing game stuff already, and Jeff Saturday really fed him the ball last week, like 25 carries, something like that. Like, from, if you just draw a line from Jeff Saturday on, he might be the RB1 from that point on rest of season, because that's just the kind of profile we're looking at with him.
Yeah. It's super exciting that Jeff Saturday just wants to establish it and also is playing his best quarterback.
Yes.
And, like, the only way this team's successful is if Jonathan Taylor's successful. I don't think there's really any other way they do it. And they play in the South, and the South is so wonky they can still make it. And it's about time. Like, Nyheim Hines is gone, and there's no way Deion Jackson is going to be playing this wide receiver or this, like, third down and distance role. I think it all belongs to Jonathan Taylor, and just let him do it all. I wish they would do that in Cleveland with Nick Chubb.
Oh, that would be great. We can only, you know, one crusade at a time. All right, Dalton, your next guy.
Who's that Pokemon?
Ourselves here, more numbers, Johnny, so don't get too scared. You might want to write them down. I can say them slowly for you. All right. So this guy is a top 20 running back right now. That means out of 20 running backs, he's in the top 20 of them. Okay.
Let me just minimize my RB rankings that I have right next to me then.
If you want, I could actually pull up like a paint document and draw this for you so you understand it better, Johnny.
I'll let you share screen.
I'm not doing that. This player has 81% of his team's rushing attempts, but he's only run 9% of the team's routes this entire season. And in spite of all of that, he's still top 50 in the NFL in receiving yards among the running back position. Who's that Pokemon?
I feel okay. Which conference?
AFC.
Okay, I was gonna say, I thought this could be like a cheeky Kenneth Walker type of thing.
A good one, but he had like 8 catches last week.
I know, yeah, but it would be like, oh, Kenneth Walker ran -5 routes before last week, so he is still at whatever percent. AFC top 20 running back. I'm trying to think of the top 20 running backs. I just had the list for earlier in the show. Not Joe Mixon. I thought Joe Mixon. I was like, wait, Joe Mixon is actually catching a ton of passes. I mean, this is Nick Chubb's profile, but this feels like if it was Nick Chubb, you would have said higher. But Nick Chubb? Top 20 running back.
Could be Nick Chubb light. It is Damian
Pierce. Oh, good job, Johnny.
Let's go, Johnny. Yeah, and that kind of – the Eno Benjamin trade really frustrates things, but if he could get a little bit more passing work, the guy is like a weekly RB1 at this point. And the last 3 weeks, he's actually been over 90% with his team's rush attempts. It's really just this weird Rex Burkhead passing stuff that's hurting him.
Yep, and I would think Eno can cut into the Burkhead stuff. And so maybe if that happens, then maybe we'll see the roles not flip, but we'll see the roles kind of change a little bit in that backfield, where maybe Eno is more comfortable as a pure runner, and maybe Pierce can get more involved in the passing game while also still running the ball a ton as well. That'd be kind of the hope down the stretch. Interesting that the Chiefs had a claim in for Eno Benjamin, just worth noting.
Yeah, I think they're kind of just throwing shit at the wall and seeing if it sticks at the running back position.
I think so too. All right, my next guy.
Who's that Pokemon?
All right, we're looking at a quarterback, and since I'm giving you quarterback and there's not that many fantasy-relevant quarterbacks, I'm not giving you conference until you need it later on, maybe. Boom. Since week four, this quarterback is averaging 16.3 points per game. That is fewer than players such as Jimmy Garoppolo,
it's Marcus
Cousins, Daniel Jones, and basically equal to Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady this year. So I just gave you like a whole list of guys that it's not. He's completed less than 60% of his passes in four of the last five games this season. He does have the easiest remaining schedule in the league, not like from a quarterback, but just like NFL-wise. His team has the easiest remaining schedule. Their opponents are a combined 25 and 45 that they have left on the season. No, not Jalen Hurts. He's averaging fewer than 16.3 points per game since week four. Mm-hmm.
Is it Marcus Mariota?
It's not Marcus Mariota. Not Marcus Mariota.
16.3. Is it Joe Burrow?
Nope. I'll give you one more hint. This quarterback's best weekly fantasy finish since week three. So not even per game, but just his best finish since week three is QB10. Nope.
Is it Lamar Jackson?
It's Lamar Jackson. So it's funny that you said Mariota because I don't want to give it away, but it's like it's kind of like Marcus Mariota on steroids this year. It's been Lamar had the 39 and 42 point games, and it's been pretty rough since then. But the schedule really lightens up for the team and theoretically for him down the stretch. So you hope he can rebound, but it's not been good. You would be better off on a weekly basis starting Tom Brady, or basically about the same, I guess, starting Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and you could just throw Jimmy G in there every week and have better luck since week four than you have with
Scary more. Considering Bateman's out for the season.
Yep.
It's really just Mark Andrews. There's no outside receiver there.
A lot of Devin Duvernay going to be counting on down the stretch. Odell, you were about ready to say, he is not going there. It doesn't seem like, if you believe his initial list he put out.
It's worrying. And J.K. Dobbins should be back, and they might just really turn into like that 2018 Ravens team where it was ground and pound over and over again. Hurts. To see another lost season for Lamar Jackson this year, it feels like
and just for the Ravens as a whole, like fantasy wise, like Mark Andrews had a good year too, but it's like another year of Dobbins not mattering for fantasy. Like Bateman showed promise and he hasn't mattered, and they didn't ever bring in another receiver. So it's just like you've had Lamar and you've had Andrews, and then there's just nothing else you can count on. Hopefully, one of the running backs, Gus Edwards, who I think is playing this week, it seems like, or at least has a chance to, or J.K. Dobbins, which, you know, I have on his sleeper blurb 13 days ago, he's 3 to 4 weeks away from returning. So maybe you see him in the next 1 to 3 weeks, something like that. So, I mean, that's cutting it close to fantasy playoff time. Yeah. And that'll be an interesting discussion.
And Gus is questionable this week, and he was out. Yeah, it's not good in Baltimore.
All right, Dalton, your last guy.
Who's that Pokemon?
I want to acknowledge that you're probably not going to get this one, but I wanted to discuss this guy because I'll say he was
should just give better hints if you don't think we're going to get this.
Well, he was part of a lot of preseason hype, but he's outside of the top 36 in wide receivers.
Let me just pull up my Google Doc of 500 players who were part of preseason hype.
Yeah, well, this one was especially frustrating, and so that might help you. And I'll even give you this hint. This guy is a wide receiver in a top 5 NFL offense, okay?
Okay.
He's run 80% of the team's routes on this offense. Despite that, his targets per route run is 12%, but his ADOT is 13.3%, and he's only gotten 21% of the team's total air yards, despite having a deep ADOT. On a top 5 offense, I'll even give you the AFC, He has one touchdown.
Okay, I was gonna say it was sounding a lot like a Gabe Davis, but then as you got further,
he's outside the top 36 in scoring though.
Okay. Okay. Since you don't think we're gonna get it, give us this. You said preseason hype, but was this guy hyped to be like a starter for fantasy this year, or do you mean like hype as in like, oh, this guy will be a fun bench player this year?
This guy on this team was being hyped as the best fantasy pick out of the wide receivers.
The best fantasy pick out of the receivers, a current top five offense in the AFC. I mean,
you think T. Higgins is outside the top 36 in wide receiver scoring?
Well, he could be. He's missed.
Oh, he could be. Okay, sorry, but he's not. No, it's not T. Higgins.
Well, now I'm going to go look and make sure T. Higgins is in the – because he might not be just because they've had a bye week and he's missed some time. Oh, he's 22. Never mind. Okay, I'm going to not scroll down further in that list so I don't accidentally see it. I know. Michael Pittman.
No, but that's another good one.
Oh, man.
I got
to control F Michael Pittman.
I will say not everybody had this guy as the wide receiver one on his team.
Pittman's actually wide receiver 23. That's shocking.
That's insane.
That's shocking.
But I will say there were some Twitter debates over this player. I'll even tell you this. It's his first year on this team.
It's just funny because like, with the one touchdown, and obviously it's the top 36. I know it's not, but this sounds like Tyreek Hill for everything except actually not scoring points, because Tyreek Hill has scored a lot of points.
Well, you know, Evan, I'll go ahead and tell you who it is. You're so close, because it's the guy that was supposed to replace Tyreek Hill. It's Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Okay. See, that's cheap, because there was no hype on this podcast.
There was a lot of arguments on Twitter from this podcast about not overhyping a player who's already played with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I did get a response from a national fantasy football writer to our podcast of me saying, why are we treating MVS differently than Mecole Hardman, who they basically have the same career stats?
Yeah, but it is crazy. I mean, he's done well for Kansas City as a player, but he is not – like, the fantasy expectations are just not there for this guy. He has the one 112-yard game, and then he had a touchdown last week, which was only one of the season. Mm-hmm. But another case of people overrating situation and not looking at the skill of the player.
And it's not even overrating situation. It's overrating the perceived contract. It's like, oh, well, Juju signed a one-year deal for $2 million. I'm too lazy to think about what the incentives could actually make him. So he must be the wide receiver, too. To MVS's wide receiver one, because they gave MVS a fake $3 million for $30 million contract.
Yeah,
that was the analysis. It was lazy, and it is looking pretty damn dumb right now.
And that's why I had George Kittle's my tight end one, not Travis Kelce. George Kittle got more money than Travis Kelce.
That's true. There are multiple tight ends who got more money than Travis Kelce. I think David Njoku makes more money than Travis Kelce.
That's right. Tight end two on my list, actually. Glad you mentioned that.
Okay. And with that, we go to my last guy.
Who's that Pokemon?
So this guy's tricky because I really only have a couple stats. I'm just going to identify him as a pass catcher. This could be a pass catching.
Laviska Shenault.
RIP. So this player's team saw a meaningful change to their passing game. Won't say if it was by injury or otherwise. In the last couple weeks. In the one game that Mystery Man has played since then, he posted a 27% target share. On the season, he is at 23% targets per route run. He's tied at fifth at his position in targets, but ranks as a back-end starter for his position on the season, just like points per game.
Oh, it's Pat Freiermuth.
Yes, I did. I didn't want to say tight end because I was gonna make it obvious, but I wanted to give Muse some love on here because
Let's go.
I think now that I mean the one game without Claypool, 27% target share. They throw the ball a lot. Muth is really freaking good. He's the tight end 9 right now, but he's 5th in targets, and I think he is set up for a very strong finish to the season.
Yeah, I would agree with you. He's probably, if we were doing another trade deadline podcast with yours truly a part of it.
Yeah, give us a guy or two because you weren't here last week, so
With the Zach Ertz news and just like outside of Andrews Kelsey, there is no consistency to tight end. I think Muth is a really good move towards that. Mm-hmm. Muth is the move. I like that a lot, yeah. And as this team moves forward and Pickett progresses a little better, I think he just has it. And he might be like the most consistent pass catcher on the team, which doesn't say a lot, but he's the most trusted target right now. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, Deontay Johnson owners. Guy has 81 targets this season, no touchdowns, which leads the league for anyone interested. But yeah, I love Pratt Freiermuth.
Mm-hmm. I am with you and wanted to give Big Pat some love because I think he's himself a very awesome player, been trapped in a bad situation. The situation without Claypool has improved, and he's been getting volume a lot of the season. And it's felt like a disappointing year, or at least a low ceiling type of year, and he's still tight end 9 in points per game right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if you just go from this point to the last week of the fantasy season. I don't know. Is he like, if I gave you tight end 6 or let's say tight end 7, tight end 7, are you going higher or lower, with lower being closer to 12 as a finish for Pat Freiermuth from this point on?
I'd go higher.
Me too. I think this is a top 6 tight end the rest of the way.
Yeah, and points per game, just so we're not cheating and using any buys remaining. Not sure who's out there that's important for that.
And he just has buy this week, so he's out of buys. But all right, Dalton, anything else before we hop out of here?
I think that's it. Another week of fantasy, another week of losing money. I hope Buffalo doesn't play in the snow.
And that is going to do it. You know, Johnny, I appreciate that you had the E over the accent on Who's That Pokemon this whole time. Wanted to give you a little shout out for that. That's going to do it for episode 91 of the Half Point Per Podcast. Give us a follow Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Half Point Per Pod. Subscribe to the YouTube, link to all of those things in the show notes. We will try to answer any questions that pop into the YouTube as that show goes on. And we appreciate the subscriptions, likes, views, everything on the YouTube. It truly helps the podcast a ton. Our show is available anywhere you listen to podcasts, most notably Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all of those things. Leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And we'll be back with, I don't know, maybe a Thanksgiving theme podcast next week. We're already almost Thanksgiving, which is pretty insane. But thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.